Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this first day of summer, 21st of June. At times like this, on the longest day of the year, the seasons are changing. We have a little bit more time. We tend to think of our stuff and the stuff that we have around us. And I certainly did as I read all this material about clutter and proceeded last night to get rid of some stuff. It's estimated that a clutter habit affects 2 to 3 million Americans, according to our guest, and the problem cuts across gender and socioeconomic lines. You can see it in the very wealthy and the very poor, but most people are very secretive about it. And we're going to go all the way from people who are messy to people who are hoarders, who are very rich, who have several homes filled with their possessions, or members of the middle class who rent storage space or fill every possible corner. Cluttering problems can range from mild to moderate, with hoarders at the extreme. And there are some interesting statistics. So that we've got these, you know, container stores so we can get organized. We've got this huge booming business in home storage rental, organization businesses, people who will come to your home and help you get organized, help your business get organized. What's going on with all of that? We're going to be talking about it this hour of the program, and I think it'll be a really good hour. Is it an indication that we're just a really consumer-driven society, materialistic, and we want a whole lot of stuff? Or is there some element of frugality about this? A legitimate concern that we don't want to throw things away because they may indeed be useful at some point in our lives. Joining us this hour to talk about the whole issue is Dr. Fugan Nezergoglu, who is clinical director of the Biobehavioral Institute. Dr. Fugan is the co-author of Overcoming Compulsive Hoarding, Why You Save and How You Can Stop. And she is a behavior and cognitive therapist involved in the research and treatment of anxiety disorders and depression and has been a researcher for some 20 years. Could you pronounce your name for me again so I get it right this hour? I'll be concerned about it. Dr. Fugan.
It's not easy.
It's not. Uh-oh, it's not easy.
It's not easy. It's Fugan.
Fugan.
Uh-huh. And the last name is Nezergoglu.
Oh.
But Nez is good enough. Nezergoglu is the actual pronunciation.
Nezergoglu. Okay, I'll try and get that right. Maybe after a few times I will. Thank you so much for being with us. You know, I was dumbfounded when I read the material associated with clutter and realized what huge businesses, these container business, the home storage, the people who will organize your life for you. Obviously, there are a whole lot of us who go from messy to hoarding.
Absolutely. I'm convinced that most of that personal storage business is catering to people who have so much clutter that they can't accommodate it in their own homes, and they have to rent extra storage space.
Unbelievable. It is one of the fastest growing businesses in the country. I didn't know that.
That's true. It's amazing. I mean, you see it all around. And, you know, some people have incredible amounts. And they start off with a small space, and then they go to a bigger and bigger and bigger. Mm. And with office material or from their homes, it's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. And would you say, you've talked about the number of Americans who are faced with this, 2 to 3 million Americans. What percentage would you put at the real extreme of people who have hoarding problems and literally can't find much space to live in their house?
Well, actually, 2% is those that are in the extreme. So if we to probably put, you know, from messy to hoarding on that continuum, we would probably reach much greater proportions, maybe up to 5% or larger.
Mm-hmm. And the reason for it, is it that we're materialistic, or is there sort of a depression-era mentality that we all have that may not be a bad thing, that if you can find a way to organize it, it indeed will be of use, and it's better than putting it in the landfill?
Well, I think that if you're talking about extremes, it certainly is not useful at all. And most of what people have in their homes that is considered clutter is not that useful. I mean, we don't need to save every junk mail or
right.
you know, or newspaper, yeah. that you'll maybe get to that article one day.
Right.
So, so important. And indeed, if it is important, you know, you could look it up these days on the internet. You can go to the library. I mean, there's many ways of getting that information.
You know, the internet has been a godsend in that regard. I got a bit of messiness about me, I must admit. But the fact that you don't have to save all of those papers anymore because you know you can retrieve them.
That's right. That's right. But, you know, people who have this problem to an extreme aren't satisfied with that knowledge because they want to have it right in front of them.
Oh. And what is there some overreaching reason why we're doing it? Is it that we're attaching some kind of, I don't know, emotional meaning to that piece of paper or to that picture or to the whole box of pictures that we never look at? What is it?
Well, I mean, I think there are many different reasons for why people accumulate various different objects and items. And one of it is attention deficit disorder, believe it or not.
Really?
People can't concentrate or attend to things. They can't focus. So imagine yourself if you had attention deficit and you really can't focus. Maybe you start putting an item in one particular place and you say, okay, well, I'll put it away later, and then you forget where you put it. You get distracted. You go on to something else. Or as you were doing something, you know, you get a phone call. Once again, you're distracted. You're on to something else. And you forget about that little clutter or, you know, possessions that you have in the corner. And slowly, it starts accumulating over time because you never get to it. There's always
right.
something else
right.
that you're attending to.
Right.
So that's one reason. The other is depression. People who are depressed, you know, they're very well-meaning. They have all the intention in the world to put their stuff away or to, but it's just so much of an effort that they never get to it.
Mm-hmm.
So depression is one. Sense of deprivation and being, you know, from the depression era is certainly another factor that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to waste things.
Right, right.
So there's various different reasons why we do it.
Yeah. When my mother died, which was some years ago now, and eventually I was going through her things, I was amazed how many socks had been darned so many times, nylons that had been. It's such a different mentality, isn't it, to save what you have and keep using it. And the other thing that's going on now, I think, is that we just keep buying stuff, too.
Exactly. I mean, there's no question that we're a very materialistic society.
Yes.
And you don't need 100 sweaters. You know, two or three is sufficient, but we're not with that mentality any longer.
Right. Let's talk about how this can be a huge issue in families, too. And it is in all of our lives. You can marry somebody who's messy or who's really a clutterer or maybe even somebody who hoards. You're embarrassed to have people come over to your house. You've got stress in the family. You can have social isolation. This can be a very, very big issue for people.
Well, it is. It's more of an issue, actually, for the family than it is for the individual most often.
Oh.
And that really creates a problem because, you know, if you're depressed, you're anxious, you usually want to go get help, you want to go into therapy or, you know, find a way to help yourself. When you're accumulating, having clutter, hoarding, you're not really bothered by it because for all intents and purposes, you lead a normal life. You know, once you're out of your house, you're okay. You could be with people. You could be at work. You could be socializing. You just don't invite people to your home.
Right.
Now, the problem is, of course, that often, you know, over time, things can be in disrepair. It could be very unhealthy living conditions. You could have incredible amount of dust and molds that could create all kinds of allergies and all kinds of physical conditions. The children can't have sleepovers or they don't have their own bedrooms to sleep on, or the kitchen table is accumulated with so many materials and objects and items that you can't really have a family dinner, you can't have holidays. So it does affect the family in so many different ways. You're really infringing upon the territory of other people that are living with you.
Right.
And if you're living alone, then it's just not healthy. It's a health hazard.
Mm-hmm. Are there skills? I feel like I missed a class in organization somewhere along the line that maybe this might be a skill that we need to learn. Because I don't consider myself stupid, but I got to tell you, several times during the course of a week, I'll go to the dining room table and put stuff in different stacks and then think, what the heck am I going to do with this stuff? You know, there are tons of magazines and things that I think might be interesting and papers my son wrote. And I just don't know where to put it all, to tell you the truth. And it takes more time to think about where to put it than if I knew where to put it. I could put it there.
Right. Well, I guess the first question is, do you really need to put it anywhere? Do you really need all of that?
Yeah.
You know, I've been to homes of people who have every single drawing, every single homework assignment of their children from, you know, kindergarten on.
Mm-hmm.
And what generally, I mean, I think memories are nice and to hold on to certain things are good. But then you need to really maybe have a rule. For example, I'm going to keep 3 items from kindergarten on.
Mm-hmm.
So for every year, I'll have 3 items. And you select the 3 most important things, whether it's a drawing, a homework assignment, a picture, whatever it may be, and just keep 3 of each. Not every single thing the person has drawn. Have a rule about magazines. You know, it could be a rule like, if I haven't read it in a month, then, you know, it goes out. Or it could be a rule that I'm going to see magazines every week and see that those that are over a week or 2 weeks or whatever your own guidelines are, I'm going to get rid of or give to someone.
Mm-hmm. Are you real neat?
Am I? Yes. Yes, I would consider myself pretty organized and pretty neat.
I guess you'd have to be doing this work. So tell me, how does it feel to be real neat? I mean, do you feel lighter? Do you feel you can take in more ideas? Or I think you probably have a whole different way of going about the world if you're organized, if you're neat.
Well, the first thing is that I believe very strongly that you need to put things away right away.
Mm-hmm.
You said, for example, you go to your kitchen table and you have stacks of things, and then it becomes overwhelming
to do it that way for
all of us.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to kind of envision myself if I had that, and then I would go, oh, my God, what am I going to do with all this? And I don't have the time, and I don't even know where to put it, like you said. So the best thing is every night when you have either paperwork or whatever it is, you've gone shopping, you brought some stuff home,
mm-hmm.
put it away immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wait till the next day.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's welcome phone calls. I think we're going to get many of them. Our guest is Dr. Fugan Nezuroli, and she is clinical director of the Biobehavioral Institute, co-author of Overcoming Compulsive Hoarding, Why You Save and How You Can Stop. She's a behavior and cognitive therapist involved in the research and treatment of anxiety disorders and depression, and has done this work for some 20 years. You know, once we start thinking about this as an issue, there are tons of news stories, a reflection of our messiness, our clutter, perhaps our materialism, found in business stories about the strength and the growth of these container stores and these people who are kind of come to your house and get you organized and these storage facilities where people fill up one and then they just get another. Here's our number, 800-486-8655, 414-227-2050. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. If while you're listening to us, you'd like to evaluate your own messy or hoarding tendencies, you can go to biobehavioral.com. That's biobehavioral.com, where you can find a quiz that will help you. There's also a messiness anonymous that you can go to, and that's messies.com, messies.com. So we go to your phone calls now. The clinical director of the Biobehavioral Institute, co-author of Overcoming Compulsive Hoarding, is our guest. Dr. Fugan Nezuroli is here, and we go to your phone calls, starting with Tom from Burlington. Hi, Tom.
Good morning from a big pile to a pile. when my mother died, I called up my neighbor, a friend. I said, would you please come over and help me throw away my mother's things? And she said to me, I can't be any help to you. I still have my grandparents' things up in the attic.
Oh, my.
So it's one pile after another. But my mother had a dentist, the dentist's chest, and it had about 20 drawers on each side where the dentist used to keep his instruments, and she made files out of them. And she was very, very organized in that respect. And some guy came in and cleaned up the closet, cleaned out the garage, and he took that filing cabinet, and which completely threw her completely off. But a lot of people use you as a conscious closet. In other words, they don't want to throw it away. They don't know where to put it. So they give it to you to soothe their conscience, and then you wind up with all this stuff that you can't use. And these gifts, I say, beware of the gifts that people give you. You can't let them do that to you. But it is a major problem. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then you get all this historical stuff. You know, like, I'm not a museum here, and I've got my father's old letters and the old pictures and things. And then you will say, well, I'm going to save this for the next generation.
Right.
Well, they don't know who these people are, and half
right.
the pictures don't have names on them,
right.
which is another issue. People should put a name on every picture they take or do something with it.
That's a good idea.
But the thing is, since technology is always changing, and I thought, well, if you fax these into or scan these into your computer, then they'll be able to use them. But I really think the only way to keep a picture is it really has to be in the hard copy, like the paper.
Mm-hmm.
So there you are again.
Mm-hmm. Pictures are very hard to throw away, Dr. Nasiroli. Don't you think? For me, they are very hard to throw away.
That's absolutely true, because they carry sentimental value. Also, you know, we don't trust our memories, so we feel if we have the picture, then we'll remember that event or that occasion. So it's true, and a lot of people take, one way is to cut down on the number of photographs that one takes.
Mm-hmm.
Because the more you take, you really can't decide which picture to keep. In some ways, the digital camera has helped.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's true. So, and Tom had a good idea, too, that you do find yourself, man, I've got pictures like this of my great, you know, my great uncle Tom, who died so many years ago, and I feel like I got to keep his memory alive, and I got pictures of his, I don't even know, you know, I got some of his stuff, I don't even know who the people are in these pictures. So
right.
why are you keeping it? But I wanted to keep him alive, so somebody would remember Uncle Tom, you know?
Right, but you have to challenge those thoughts, as you just did right now. You said, I don't even know these people.
Right.
So the reality is, you're keeping them for whom, and is it going to have any value for those individuals?
Right. Yeah. Thanks, Tom, very much for the call. Let's spend just a little bit more time, because I'm sure that a lot of people in our audience have had, and it's such an emotional experience to have to, a loved one dies, your mother, your father, your grandparents, and you have to go through a house, you have to go through who they were. Well, for people who have cluttering, messy tendency, hoarding tendencies, this has got to be a very difficult thing to do. Do you have any advice?
Well, getting rules that will help you decipher what to throw out, what to keep, what to do with whether you're going to give it to charity or Goodwill or whatever it is that you're going to do, you should come up with some rules. If you have a tendency for hoarding, then you know yourself. And accordingly, before you tackle the problem, have someone come in with you and set general guidelines. You know, we're going to throw out all paper bags or garbage bags or plastic bags. We're going to keep pictures for the time being, and then we'll, you know, go through them. Get some boxes and just kind of, save the things you want to save into that box.
Mm.
But don't go through it at the time. Just put it away. Only look at the item once before you make a decision as to throw it away or to keep it, but don't keep going back to it. Don't keep checking it to see, well, I'm not sure. Should I
right,
keep it?
Right.
What should I do with it?
Yeah.
No, you look at it, whatever your gut says, you know, throw it out or keep it. Do that.
Mm-hmm.
And put it in that box, but don't look at it.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Vicki from Grant County next. Hi, Vicki.
Hi, I just wanted to touch again on the issue of depression and clutter.
Yes.
And how you recover from that. I had a sister who died 6 years ago, threw me in tremendous depression, affected many parts of my life. She's the heart of our family.
Oh.
And now I have clutter on the table, clutter around the house, and it's overwhelming to even look at. And I have never been like that. Never, ever, ever.
Mm.
And it's just hard to get back to being able to be organized. It's just draining.
Well, first the depression has to lift, obviously. So
yeah.
You know.
Well, I'm at the tail end. I mean, it is lifting. But I just, for folks, you know, it's just hard.
It's
a new habit that you've never had before, so it's also frustrating because you don't know what it is and why it is, and then finally you figure it out, but, you know, it's tough.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's because you can see it. It's observable. In depression, everything becomes an effort, and you don't really get to do many things because it's just so hard to get yourself mm-hmm. going. I mean, from whether it's eating, going out, you know, if you can get yourself to work and back, that's pretty good, or attend to your children, that's pretty good. You really try to keep to use your energy, the little energy that you have, for the priorities in your life, and putting away things is certainly not a priority when you're depressed.
Yeah.
So when the depression lifts, then you become aware, oh my God, look at all these things I have all around the house.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm at. So
at that point, you have to just take one, what's the most important room or place of what we call functional space, you know, whether mm-hmm. it's a couch, whether it's a kitchen table, whether it's whatever it is, pick only one place at a time. Don't look at the totality.
Mm.
So it may be the kitchen that you want to start with. It may be the kitchen table. It may be on top of the cabinets or stove, whatever mm-hmm. it is. Just take that. And for that one day or week, whatever it is going to take you, work on that space alone. Mm-hmm. And the way to work on that space is really to say, okay, I'm even going to further break down that space. So the kitchen table may be broken down into four parts, and I'm going to start with one corner.
Mm-hmm.
And you have like three, what we described in our book on overcoming hoarding is to say the 3.5 box technique works the best. You have one box to discard items or to give it away, one box for saving items, one box that is for displaying, and I'll explain that, and one half a box, a small box, for attending to important things. So what you do is, in that one quarter of the space, let's say on the kitchen table, you have sunglasses. Well, the sunglasses mm-hmm. you're going to save, but they don't belong on the kitchen table.
So they don't? I didn't know that.
So you put that in the save box. Uh-huh. Then you go and you find gloves. Well, you want your gloves, but you don't want them in the save, you know,
right.
on the kitchen table either. But the salt and pepper shaker, perhaps you do want back on the table, so you put that in the display box.
Uh-huh.
The napkins you want back on the kitchen table, so you put that in the display. But then you just found a check that you haven't cashed. Well, that mm-hmm. goes into the important box, mm-hmm. small little box. And a bill that you have to pay. Well, mm-hmm. that goes in the small little box. And then you find that you have a paper plastic bag from some groceries you picked up on your way home about 3 months ago.
Right.
Well, that goes into the discard box. And you, before you know it, but in the interim, you don't touch anything.
Hmm.
Those boxes just, and you go through the whole kitchen table.
Mm.
And if you don't get through it in one day, keep the boxes in a corner. Don't look at them. Don't touch them. Mm. Except the discard box. The discard box has to be thrown away.
Mm.
Put it in the garbage. You know, take it, put it in a bag, and discard it immediately. If not, believe me, you'll go back and you'll go through that box again.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, when do you go back to the boxes?
When you're done with that whole kitchen table,
okay.
Then you would go to your save box, and what you need to do is put everything where it belongs. So let's say the glasses, and it goes in your car, for example. The gloves goes in a drawer in your bedroom. But when you get to your bedroom or to your car, don't start cleaning up that mess.
Exactly. That's what we do.
Don't.
That's right. That's right. That's what we do.
That's where you get overwhelmed and you have nothing accomplished.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was helpful, Vicki, don't you think?
Oh, it was very helpful. I'll start today. I'm going to go.
Okay. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks. Let's go to another phone call. Janice is next from La Crosse. Hi, Janice.
Hi, good morning, girls.
Hi.
My issue is I just have this horrible feeling of waste, you know, how much we waste in this country.
Yeah.
And how we throw, like the man just said, I'll just throw it all out. I mean, my mother died. My brother immediately got a what do you call it, dumpster, threw it all in the dumpster. I go in the dumpster, take it all out, take it to Goodwill, take the Salvation Army, you know, give it away. A guy came up in a truck. I said, go in there, take anything out of there you want, you know. But, I mean, we just throw, we wait. And here's several companies, you know, just starving. I mean, college kids just dump this stuff out on the sidewalk. I mean, I go, well, do you guys have a mentality of other people that have nothing? And look at the Europeans. Recycle. We talked about recycling in the program before. They recycle every little bit of everything, a consciousness of that. And then the litter. I might have a litter hang-up, so I have to pick up litter. I'm like, we have a beautiful world. Let's take care of this place. Come on, people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I get excited about
that. Yeah, no, that's all right. And I think that that's okay to want other people to have all this stuff that you have that you're not doing anything with.
Absolutely.
I mean, doesn't that motivate people to get rid of some stuff?
Absolutely. I mean, that discard box that I just spoke about, for example, is really not to throw things out. It's to give to Goodwill, to give to charity, if it's items that can be given away. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I wholeheartedly agree with you.
Right, right. Anything else, Janice? Well, Janice is gone. All right. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Patrick next from Hill Green. Hi, Patrick.
Hello.
Hello.
Reason I'm calling is I found a way to reduce paper waste. I had a whole file cabinet full of old receipts and articles and tax papers and all this that was just building up on me. So what I did was I got a scanner and I scanned it all in and scanned them all into a computer and then saved them onto the computer and then backed up the files of everything, and then I shredded everything. So if you have a little technological know-how, you can get rid of a lot of your files, and then I get rid of the paper, too. So that was my solution for paper buildup.
That's very good.
Yeah, thanks very much for the call. How many people are real secretive about all of this, so that it's hard for them to get help? And so you live in this little world, in your house, in your closet, nobody comes to see you, and you become more and more isolated because you're just darned embarrassed about all of it.
Well, I think most hoarders are very, very, very embarrassed,
mm-hmm.
and that's why they don't allow anyone into their homes. They don't even allow technicians to come and fix the stove or refrigerator or the electrician to come in. I mean, you know, they're very, very embarrassed. If they weren't, they would allow people and entertain in that clutter. So there is some awareness that what they're doing is not quite right,
mm-hmm.
but on the other hand, the anxiety associated with throwing it out or giving it away is so great. I guess if you don't have the problem, it's hard for someone to understand. But for those who are listening, and if you could think of something that's really, really valuable to you, and then think of that somebody coming and getting rid of it, I think that might help others who don't have the problem understand the problem, especially family members.
Mm-hmm.
Or if someone were to rob your home, for example, it would be the same kind of outrage that how could someone come into my territory, into my, and touch my belongings and get rid of my belongings.
Right, right. Yeah. Let's go next to, where are we? Reed is next from Clintonville. Hi, Reed.
Good morning. Say, just very quickly, Craigslist is a great resource if you have too much stuff and you want to get rid of things free. You can post them on Craigslist, and oftentimes people, other folks need that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We recycle just about everything we do recycle everything that we can that our local recycling center, the Clintonville Area Waste Service, takes. And, you know, we do that because we don't want to steal from future generations. And it's a way of giving back or at least trying to mitigate our time here, excuse me, and the things that we use. But getting more direct about clutter, as an artist, I find that I let my studio get terribly cluttered and I bring in all kinds of things. But every few weeks, I'll spend a day or two, or in some cases 3 days, cleaning and organizing so I can start over. But that clutter is a different kind of clutter. It's a creative clutter, and it's necessary. But the clutter I think that we're speaking about in some cases is generational, and it gets passed down from mm-hmm. generation to generation. I grew up as a very, very poor, in a very poor family. And we had a mantra. I learned to darn my own socks, among other things. But the mantra basically was use it up, wear it out, make it do or do without.
Hmm.
But as I got older and I went to college and got a job, and I found that some of that stayed with me, but there was a part of it that I didn't realize emotionally, where, and I'm bearing, sort of bearing my soul here, I guess, for the radio audience, where I would tend to buy two or three or four items of the same kind, and again, you know, sort of hoard them,
right?
Which I no longer do, but it was interesting, and I could kind of stand back and look at myself doing this, because we didn't, as a child, I knew that we didn't have
mm-hmm.
the ability to do that, and so generationally, maybe there's some history there too. I don't know. I guess I'll just hang up and
thank you, Reed.
Listen to the comment.
Yeah, thanks for your call. I appreciate it, Dr. Nancy Roglu.
Yeah.
You want to comment on Reed's comments?
Well, I think that whatever works for every individual, I think that they need to find their own ways of dealing with the issues and problems. But it seems to me that he himself has been able to, work it through and no longer has the problems.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really sure that he would. He right now doesn't seem to be in a state of clutter.
What about this generational thing, though? When we tell our children to go clean your rooms, and they got a lot of stuff in their rooms, is the reason they have the stuff because we have the stuff as well?
Yes, I think that children really model, and if we allow them to accumulate things, although you will see that certain children by temperament have more difficulty getting rid of things than others.
Hmm.
I mean, clutter and hoarding is not an adult problem only. If you do see it in children, you do see it in children whose parents don't have the problem either.
Mm-hmm.
I see several children, for example, who will pick up gum wrappers or keep them. Or who have difficulty giving away any of their toys or their clothing, for that matter, to their cousins or siblings. They need to have it in their room.
Hmm. Why?
It's a sense of security.
Hmm.
It's a sense of security and a sense it belongs to me and no one else.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much for the call, Reed. Let's go next to Tammy from Waukesha. Hi, Tammy.
Hi. I've got a question for you. I work with a client who's living in a group home, and she has a formal diagnosis of schizophrenia, I believe, but she has a lot of OCD tendencies, and we've been trying to help her work with her hoarding tendencies. She likes to take things that others would consider rubbish or garbage and save them. Things such as cigarette wrapper containers, food wrappers, soda cans, soda bottles, other things like that. And she'll like to have mass quantities of these items and finds it very emotionally overwhelming. And it appears to be painful for her when we try to remove these items from her room.
Huh. And what does she do with them? She just looks at them? She collects them?
We've never seen her do anything with them other than just collecting them, keeping them, putting them in a bag or putting them in dresser drawers, putting them in her pockets. So she doesn't seem to do anything else with it other than to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Hmm.
In schizophrenics, you do often see hoarding, even if they don't have any other obsessive compulsive tendencies or OCD. Just in schizophrenia. So hoarding actually can, if you're talking about diagnoses or talking about various different problems, you can see hoarding as a symptom in anything. So in her particular case, yes, it would be very, very painful for her to allow you to do it. But maybe one of the things is really for her to understand that, you know, she's accumulating a lot of things that perhaps she doesn't really need, to cognitively look at her belief system and see, why are you doing this? You know, what are you thinking as you're picking up that gum wrapper or cigarette wrapper, I think you said, or the various other items? Would you allow me to look into your drawer with you and go through it and sort it out? Maybe if you were a little bit more organized, don't talk about throwing things out. Talk about decision-making skills, organizational skills. You know, if we were to go through your drawer or that bag, maybe we could organize it a little better.
And tell me more about the relationship between obsessive-compulsive disorder and, I don't know, take it from messiness to hoarding.
Well, hoarding is a symptom or a type of OCD, obsessive-compulsive disorder. It's also a symptom or a behavior that's also seen in obsessive-compulsive personality. People who are obsessive-compulsive personalities tend to hoard items. They tend to be miserly. They tend to have difficulty giving of themselves in terms of their time. They may be workaholics. They also have difficulty demonstrating overtly their love and affection. Usually they have interpersonal problems at work or in marital relationships. They think the way they do things is the right way to do it, and it causes a lot of friction in interpersonal relationships outside of hoarding. The obsessive-compulsive disorder is different than the personality. In obsessive-compulsive disorder, the person has anxiety, is aware that there is something that isn't quite right. They may have anxiety over throwing it out or giving it away, but they know that it's just not, you know, it's not the way that they would like to live as well. They don't think it's right. As the personality, the person who has a personality issue does.
Thanks, Tammy, very much for the call. We'll take more phone calls in a moment. And our number is 800-486-8655. Our guest is Dr. Fugan Nezyorolu, and she is a clinical director of the Biobehavioral Institute and is also the author of Overcoming Compulsive Hoarding, Why You Save and How You Can Stop. And we're welcoming your phone calls. This conversation prompted just, you know, by a few news stories we're seeing, and also we all have personal experience, be it our own messiness or hoarding behavior, but it's, you know, something that can cause a lot of friction. But there's this huge business now going on with container stores and places you put your stuff, rental facilities, and an organization business, closets, you know, making your closets so you can have two places to hang things instead of one. That's a huge business in the country as well. So we thought that we would speak with Dr. Nezyorolu about this, what it's all about, and how you can help yourself and help others with messiness and hoarding. More phone calls in a moment. Thanks, Tammy, for your call. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. In Milwaukee, it's 227-2050. 227-2050. Let's go to Christine next from Madison. Hi, Christine.
Hi, Kathleen. Love your show.
Thanks.
And thanks for the opportunity to participate. And I'm just calling to mention a website that I have found really helpful in going through clutter and kind of getting, learning to deal with the kind of overwhelmed feeling of having too much stuff. And it's called flylady.net.
Fly Lady?
Fly Lady. Fly is actually an acronym for finally loving yourself. and it's right on the front page. It says, do you suffer from chaos, which she uses as an acronym for can't have anyone over syndrome.
Ah.
And her philosophy is you can't organize clutter. You can only organize the things that you love.
Hmm.
And so it's very much about, you know, it's like you talked about, I think you mentioned, and not having missing a gene or you know, missing the class about how to organize that. And her philosophy is that you just these are habits and you do them in baby steps, 15 minutes at a time. You divide the house, and so what the guest was talking about with the boxes of giveaway, throwaway, put away kind of, it's very much that idea, but you can sign up for this website and she'll send reminders out. But it's all about, you know, baby stepping your way to the whole thing. It's not, it because she says the typical sidetracked person would go and say, I'm going to clean out this closet and take everything out of the closet. And next thing you know, an hour and a half later, they've got everything in the closets all over the floor of the room.
Right,
the bed,
right.
And everywhere else torn apart. And then you're overwhelmed in tears. And what do you do? Stuff it back into the drawers. And you just can't handle it.
She would
be an advocate of taking one drawer at a time. And just do it and be done with it and move on and kind of have faith of these zones, you know, basically the major living areas. You deal with them all over the course of a month, and then you get back to them. So you don't, it's not a rush to get it all done in 15 minutes. It's just consistent work at it, you know, a little bit at a time, which I think, you know, that really helps just to get up and take some action.
Right. You know, Christine, we have this student coming from Belfast to live with us next. You know, this created a little bit of anxiety because the house, you know, has got some clutter in it. So he had to have a room, and it's the room where the computer is. It's the guest room. And, well, all of a sudden, you know, I'm just – the shades are 17 years old. They're ripped. They look awful. I got to get those together. I can't find the tools. It takes forever to get the new shades up. The closet's filled with stuff that hasn't been worn. And before you – and I did just what you said. The room looked worse, but I thought it looked better. So my son said to me, Mom, it looks worse than when you started cleaning it, because I went about it the wrong way. It all had to be done at the same time. All the books that had to be recycled were all over the place. And then it takes you twice as long, too, to do all of this.
Yeah. Well, and you've created that whole overwhelmed. You've magnified the overwhelmed feeling that you had to begin with.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the room still isn't done, but it makes sense, doesn't it? And you're saying this, too, Dr. Nejirolu, that it's a step at a time. Don't let it overwhelm you.
That's what really happens all the time. If you go about it the wrong way, you get overwhelmed.
Right.
You just give up. You throw your hands up and you say, okay, I can't do it. I can't deal with this.
Right.
You have to do it slowly, gradually, and, you know, one space at a time, not everything all at once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you have an online thing going on, too, don't you? A teleclass, it's called, for hoarders and their family and friends, Dr. Nejirolu?
Yes. We're doing that through Messies Anonymous. That's the organization that you had mentioned, that they have their own website. And we're doing that in July, I think it was July 18th or so. I'll take a look. But
July 17th.
July 17th, Wednesday evening at 9 p.m. And it's a teleconferencing where people will be able to call in as well.
Great.
Yeah. And as I think you had mentioned earlier, if they want to take a quiz, because there's a lot of people out there who really don't know, am I really a hoarder? Am I not?
Mm-hmm.
They're not really sure. You know, am I just a messy person maybe, or I just lack organizational skills?
Mm-hmm.
As I said, we do have that website where you can go in, and there's about 20 questions that you could respond to. And there's some guidelines in terms of evaluating whether you're a hoarder or not. And that was on the bio-behavioral.com website.
Thanks, Christine. How's your house looking? Pretty good?
It's on its way.
Hey!
Yeah, and it's much calmer, and I feel much better about it, thanks.
Yeah, I keep wondering what it would feel like to just have, you know, does this happen to you when you go on vacation and you're living in a place that is uncluttered, and then you get home and you think, I got to live this way? That's when I'm motivated the most, is after I've been in a place where you do feel better when you don't have a lot of clutter around.
Absolutely.
You know, that's interesting you said that. That I hear so much.
Do you?
You know, people going away and staying at either someone else's home or at a hotel and just thinking, oh, my God, this feels so great.
Yeah.
And then going home and just saying, okay, now I'm motivated.
Right.
But then, again, if you attack it the wrong way, you feel overwhelmed and you finally give up.
Right.
Until the next vacation.
Right. Once a year. It happens once a year. Christine, thanks.
Thanks. Good luck with getting the room ready.
Yeah, thank you.
Baby steps.
Yeah, baby steps. Okay, lots
Bye-bye.
Of them. Lots of baby steps the next few days. Jean is next from Rice Lake. Hi, Jean.
Hello. Say, I just wanted to say that I love your three-box system.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And sometimes I find it valuable to do a four-box system. Actually, with this, what I do is, you know how, like, at the end of the year, you've got these medical receipts and whatever. I put them in a bag that says, throw out in 2000 whatever.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then it tells me that you haven't looked at this, you don't need it, and then it just makes it that much easier. It's kind of a two-step process to throwing something out.
Okay.
That seems to work pretty well for me. The other thing is, I don't know if someone else called in about freecycle.org.
No, not yet.
Oh, it's a fabulous, yeah, it's a really, really wonderful organization. If anyone just Googles this or just type in www.freecycle,
yes,
one word, .org.
Okay.
Every community of any size has one of these, and what happens is you put things on there that you're giving away.
Mm-hmm.
Some, you know, Goodwill and all that is wonderful, much better than throwing it out. But some things, you know, like a bike or a... We had shingles. We had whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And people then that are looking for it, they will come pick it up. Or if you're looking for something, what it does is keep things out of the dumps and landfills. So it's great.
Good service. Freecycle.org.
Yes,
all right.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks very much for the call. Let's go back to this how you learn organization for a moment, Dr. Nezhiroglu. How should we learn this?
Well, sometimes somebody has to really actually teach it to you. You know, some people by nature are more organized than others. But actually, you know, you had a great idea. I think, like, we have an economics course, right, in school, home economics. I mean, that would be a great place to start learning organizational skills, decision-making
yes.
skills. As I said, by nature, some people are just much more organized. But there is a system. I mean, we do teach work habits and study habits, right? I mean, some people, again, have it naturally, and others need to learn it. So, and if you're, you know, beyond high school, then maybe a friend or someone else could. Actually, there's many, many books on organizational skills. But my concern always with someone who has a tendency towards clutter is that they buy the books or get articles, and it just goes into another pile.
Exactly.
So,
right.
It's a buying, which I really, and that's very important, is to discourage buying of organizational material because it never helps. It
mm-hmm.
actually becomes part of the clutter.
Right, I understand. Thanks very much for the call. Jan is next from Milwaukee. Hi, Jan.
I was wondering if the doctor thought that perhaps somebody who maybe was somewhat deprived in their youth, maybe didn't have quite a my wife grew up in a house with a lot of siblings, and I'm not saying they were poor, but there maybe wasn't as much to go around as some people. And then as an adult, they find they're in a situation. You think that could lead to hoarding? If maybe if they didn't have so much as a kid, now they can have a lot more.
It certainly can. That sense of deprivation is certainly a reason. I mean, we don't necessarily find that people who don't have that much as children tend to hoard, but I think that, you know, it's multifactorial. There are many, many reasons why people hoard, so certainly that is one of them.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jan, for the call. Ron from Madison, hi.
Thanks. Freecycle sounds great, but some of us would need the restriction that we can only see the donation side where we can give things away but never accept anything from them. The reason I'm calling is to suggest donating to libraries. In a lot of different cities, there are public or university libraries that accept books and some magazines and things. That's a great way to pass on good stuff and get it out of your own house.
Mm-hmm.
The pitfall is never go to their sale on Saturday when they give away an entire grocery bag
right.
for $2.
I know.
Never go on Saturday.
But you can't help yourself. You still do it.
The improvement on that is the library students at the UW-Madison near Park Street accept magazines up to 3 years old and books, which they sort and deliver to jails. And I can't get them back from the jails, so I'm safe.
Mm.
I can only operate on the donation side of that
mm.
program.
Mm-hmm.
So for people like us,
mm-hmm.
that, and if you don't have a library students group in your town, ask. Just call up the jail and ask them, could I bring mm. in a box of books and
mm-hmm.
magazines? So folks have something to read while they're sitting there.
Yeah, right, Ron. Yeah.
I think that's such a great point that you brought out that, you know, don't go to places where you could get free items. Or if you're going to donate things, make sure you're not there to pick up items as
mm-hmm.
you're donating.
Mm-hmm.
Because definitely, I mean, you know, the tendency is there, whether it be a flyers, it could be anything. It's irrelevant, the item.
And people who are messy to those who hoard probably have a tendency to do just that.
Exactly.
Yeah. You found something that you can't do without, or a piece of knowledge or whatever it happens to be.
Right, right.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. It was really an interesting hour. We could go on and on. We have tons of people we never got to on the phone, but we'll direct them to the websites again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I enjoy this. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. And you can go to a couple websites if you want to join this. If you want to do the evaluation of whether or not you got hoarding problems, it's bio-behavioral.com, bio-behavioral.com. And also this teleclass is messies.com, messies.com. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour, and thanks to Sharome Owens for on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee. And thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be talking about happiness for one of our hours tomorrow. And we'll also be talking with some people from Iraq who are in a labor movement in Iraq. That should be interesting. I will now go and get four boxes and clean my desk. Thanks for listening.